Congressman Peter Welch is a Democrat from Vermont at large in office since 2007. Boy, you have a huge responsibility. Here you are, Peter Welch, being the only congressman from Vermont. We know that. There are two U.S. senators from the state, one of whom is running for president. But you, sir, you know, they're common by comparison with one U.S. representative. They're commoners. Don't you see?
I'm not sure they see it that way. But we work together really well, and there are three of us. That's not a big delegation, but it's a very, very strong delegation in part. Is because we see things pretty much on the same page, and we know we have to work together in order to punch above our weight for Vermont.
So when Bernie is out there campaigning the way he is and really working like crazy, we who are in our mid-70s, I'm one of them, find him to be our hero when people tell us it's time to retire. You know what I mean? So
I do.
So
no, he has got. It's amazing that he is just not missing a beat. You know, age is relative. It's real, but also relative. And he is relentless in this grueling aspect of a presidential campaign, which is obviously very demanding, both physically and emotionally. And he's doing real well.
Well, Peter Welch, does that put you into a different situation? Or do you have to work harder, is my question, because he's out campaigning, and that leaves the two of you.
Not really. He's got a fantastic staff that works closely with us. And just the other day, we signed a letter together, along with Senator Leahy, protesting a rip-off drug price by a company that's charging American consumers $130,000 for a prostate cancer drug. Whereas in Canada, they only charge $30,000, even though it was American taxpayers that funded most of the research that has created this drug. So we're working together. Obviously, Bernie is focused on his presidential campaign, but the ongoing relationships among our staff, I think, is really good, so we're able to keep at it.
So I guess I got to ask you this question. You're a friend, you're a supporter, you have followed him in the Congress and all of these things, and does he have a chance?
Well, he does. You know, he began this climb of Mount Everest, and most people didn't think he'd get out of the foothills, or the foothills. And then next thing you know, he's at the base camp and still climbing. And then after Michigan, he was climbing up towards the summit. He had, Hillary had a fantastic Super Tuesday. She won, I think, five primaries that day. And then Bernie came right back, and he won those three caucus states last weekend. So he's back in the game. The math for Bernie is tougher than for Hillary right now, but he's still in it. And this Wisconsin primary coming up is going to be very exciting. You know, the bottom line here is that both Hillary and Bernie are running campaigns where they're talking about the economy and how it's not working for everyday people. And they're focusing on the need to make the economy work for everybody, have wage growth start kicking in. And they've got different resumes, different strengths and different weaknesses, and they're out there battling for the hearts and minds of the Democrats. But I'm feeling pretty good about our side because there's a significant unity of message, and I think whoever ends up winning, we're going to all rally behind that person. Bernie's still very much in the campaign. New York's coming up, and that's going to be wild. You've got Hillary, the New York senator, Bernie, the Brooklyn-born Vermonter, and, of course, Donald Trump on the other side, the king of real estate, as he says, as he claims.
So do you ever worry in the middle of the night? You know, it's 1:30 in the morning, you're tossing and turning, you're being a little paranoid like the rest of us get, and you say, oh, boy, you know, I really have been a fierce Bernie supporter. And now, if Hillary gets to be president, I'm out of luck. Do you ever think about that?
I don't. Number one, I sleep pretty well. So I'm not talking
you're lucky.
At 1:30. And number two, you know what? I have known Bernie. And he and I began our career in elective office in the same year, 1981. So we've been marching this road together. I'm also a Vermonter. He got 87% of the vote in Vermont, and there's a significant amount of Vermont pride. So let's give Bernie a shot. And that's a major reason I'm endorsing him. And I would hope that the Hillary people understand that, and I'm sure they do. You know, you don't get 100% when you run for office. But at the end of the day, whoever is the nominee, I'm going to work real hard for. So, no, I don't worry, and anybody who's taken a side in this shouldn't have to worry, because we've got adult candidates who know what politics is. They know that people make sincere decisions, and they also know that all of us feel a common common bond in order to come together at the end to make sure that we win in November.
Well, you know, there's a story that's making the rounds about Mayor de Blasio was too long before he endorsed Hillary. So the story goes that the Hillary people got mad at him, and when he wanted to go out and campaign for her out there in the West, they gave him a non-substantial job and sort of said, stay home. That was the rationale behind my asking that question.
Yeah, and, you know, I think sometimes the supporters of the candidates overdo it. And it's kind of petty, whether it's my campaign or somebody else's campaign or Hillary or Bernie. I mean, people lose it a little bit, and they go over the top in their enthusiasm, and then they can sometimes get punitive towards people who, as they see it, weren't on board or weren't on board in time or weren't on board enthusiastically enough. But that's all the negative energy in politics that a lot of people hate. And I would look to Bernie and I'd look to Hillary when the dust settles. To really take the lead in encouraging their supporters to get behind the Democratic nominee.
I often talk about the politics of distraction. You know, we pay too much attention to smaller things. We could be talking about international trade or NAFTA, or we could be talking about, you know, what's happening in China. But we start talking about a Republican operative, the campaign manager for Donald Trump, touching a reporter, pulling her away maybe a little too hard, and that becomes the focus of a 24-hour news cycle, maybe a 48-hour news cycle, because nature abhors a vacuum. What do you make of that?
Well, the politics of distraction has been the dominant politics, particularly on the Republican race. You know, on the Democratic side, there's a real debate and discussion about issues. And in fact, Bernie Sanders, to his credit, when he had the opportunity to try to stay on the email issue, he said he's sick and tired of hearing about all the damn emails. And that reflected the Democratic approach, I think, of Hillary and Bernie to want to talk about health care, about the economy, and about jobs, the things that actually in the long run are going to make a big difference to people in our country. The Republican side, it's all invective. Donald Trump is a put-down for everybody. Ted Cruz is matches him put-down for put-down.
Right.
And that really is distraction. In this question, you know, whether there was a so-called assault or not, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, because that was a mob scene. I saw that tape, and I don't have a view on this, and obviously you shouldn't be, quote, you shouldn't be touching people or grabbing them, and I think a lot of this is because of Donald Trump's reputation around women and just some of the things that are happening in his campaign. But whatever the outcome of this latest is, whether it was an assault or not as a misdemeanor, is that outcome going to improve the prospects for people's wages in salaries? I don't think so.
Okay, we only got a minute, but I want to ask you real quickly. Do you think when Hillary says to Bernie about a New York debate, you know, you have to do thus and so before I debate you, that's because she's leading in the polls? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, on debates, there's a tactical decision that we all know campaigns make. And if you think a debate will help you, then you push hard for it. If you think it won't, then you resist it.
Exactly.
And the circumstances can change. It may be sometimes when Bernie would like a debate and Hillary wouldn't. There may be times when Hillary wants a debate and Bernie wouldn't. I just don't know. But I see that as the tactical battles within a campaign. What you do know is that the voters appreciate debates. I mean, New York is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very major primary. You know, Hillary.
For once. You know.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So it's really consequential. And New Yorkers are very focused on the nitty-gritty of politics. So I would think people in New York would like a debate. You know, if we could have a primary in Vermont, I know we'd love a debate.
Sure. It's always great to talk to our friend Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont, at large, the only one in Vermont in office since 2007. Peter, you're terrific. Thanks for showing up.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. When we come back the next time, let's talk a little bit more about politics, okay?
Yep.